Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Welcome to Save the Cowboy. Good morning, everybody. It is great to be in God's house today. I love the mountain wave cloud we had this morning. It's supposed to get cold, and I can't wait to start complaining about the cold. Now, Ty complains about the heat, and then when he quits complaining, I start. And then we start over when it starts getting hot, and so me and Ty are a perfect team. It has been a wonderful week. It has been that doesn't mean that everything goes well. It means that God is still in control of everything that is going on. And let's see. Oh yeah, y'all met him while he was standing over here when we did all of our baptisms. He's from South Texas. His name is Eddie Pena. Happy birthday, Eddie Pena. You better be watching too, Eddie, or I'm going to call you, and I'm going to call you a heathen. So, you know, today's going to be different. Today's going to be different. I hope it's going to be different in a better way. And as always, whenever, you know, my mic quit working 2 minutes before we went live, and I hadn't planned on carrying a handheld mic, and that's just what happens sometimes. And you just keep going with it. Today, I will be preaching without any notes, and for all of y'all that know me, I come up with 4 to 6 pages of notes. 46 pages of notes. And today, none. None. So, I don't know how long it's going to take. I think normal time, but I'm not going to rush it today, okay? And there's going to be a reason I don't rush it, and you'll know the reason at the end, okay? So, before we get started on a different Sunday, let's go to God in prayer. Father, you know how much I have talked to you this week, and God, you know of all of my prayers for deliverance, for your grace and your love to permeate our families and our homes and our communities and our jobs and our country, and most especially in our hearts. God, today is about our hearts, and God, I pray that hard hearts are turned soft and that eyes will see and ears will hear the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, Shay, will you and Nate move this for me? I told you today was going to be different. Yeah, just right over there to the edge, guys. Thank y'all. Give me just a second, okay? If I have the privilege to have all of y'all sitting here today, all of y'all watching right now, whether it's live or later, if I have the privilege of standing up here and proclaiming Jesus Christ to y'all, I think you deserve to know who's proclaiming that message. You may think you know a lot about me because of all the stories that I tell, of all the crazy wrecks. About 15 of you have seen me in those wrecks. In this building, whether it was horseback or in my head, you know. But listen, if you didn't know me, what would I tell you about me? You know, there's testimonies and stuff like that. But if you really wanted to know me, and I just had a little bit of time, and I wanted you to know me, not the preacher with the funny stories, not who you think I am, not who you walked in to this big ministry and met Kevin for the first time. That is Kevin. But there's another Kevin. The regular guy. The nobody. Really. I was just a cowboy. I went to college. Wanted to be a cowboy. So I quit my junior year. Went cowboying. So, if I wanted you to know who I was, what would I tell you? Today I'm going to tell you a story. And it's the three things, not what you think you know about your preacher, not what you think you know about your friend, but who Kevin is from the inside, not just what y'all see on the outside, but what makes Kevin different than he used to be. Today, I'm going to tell you what may sound like is my story. It's not. It's his story. It's his story that he tells through my life. I am just a willing participant. None of the things that we will talk about today come from me. They all came from God. And I want you to understand that my story is not my story. It's his story. Today, we're going to talk about what happens when you give God an inch, just an inch. I'm not talking about selling everything you own and give it to the poor and go on a missionary trip to the moon, okay? I'm talking about just giving God one inch and what can happen in your story if you can give God one inch. The first inch that I ever gave God, it wasn't whenever I got married. It wasn't when I had a ready-made family. It wasn't when I decided that if I was going to be married and have two kids, that I should be a better man for them than I was willing to be for myself. So we started going to a little church. And it wasn't the inch that I gave, wasn't coming to church on Sundays. It wasn't even when I volunteered to be part of the sound people for the little Baptist church in Pecos, Texas, West Park Baptist that I was going to with my family. Christy played the piano. We were there every Sunday. I faked a bloat nearly every Sunday and still went. It's still me, guys. It's still me, okay? Ty, would you please next week talk about what a bloat is and how to fake a bloat so that everybody can... Okay. Yes, there you go. Bring a tube. It wasn't... Yeah, poke a hole in my belly. It wasn't when I started going to church. It wasn't when I started serving. It wasn't when I decided that I was brave enough to sing my very first song in church all by myself. I played Riley's hot pink guitar, and I sang I Can Only Imagine by Casting Crowns. It was horrible. But that's not giving God, that's not when I gave God an inch. It wasn't when I started going to a cowboy church. Instead of going to Pecos 30 miles, we went to Fort Stockton 30 miles from the ranch because the cowboy church had started, and I was a cowboy. I like to go to church most of the time, kind of. So I wanted to see what a cowboy church was, but I didn't give God an inch when I went to the cowboy church and fell in love with the simplistic message in a way that I could understand. It wasn't going to a cowboy church that I gave God an inch of my life. And you know what? It wasn't even when my first Sunday there was the worship leader's last Sunday there, and the preacher walked up and he goes, "Well, it's Charlie's last day. I sure wish there was somebody else in here that could play guitar." And my son Griffin goes, "My dad plays guitar." Guess who became the worship leader the second Sunday at a new church? I mean, there's like 20 of us, right? I mean, you know, just a little bitty church. And became the worship leader of the church, but that wasn't giving God an inch. And then our preacher left. And since I was already up there for the music, they wanted me to preach. I told them, no way. God had a different plan. But that's not when I gave God an inch. I told him, I said, I'll fill in while he's gone until y'all find your real preacher. And it wasn't filling in preacher of giving God an inch. You want to know really the first inch that I ever gave God was when after 90 days of being an interim preacher, the church asked me to be their full-time pastor. I said no. I told y'all. God had a different plan. That was the first time in my life that I truly said yes to God. Truly said yes to God. I gave him one inch of my life by saying yes. And with that one inch, God took me a mile. With that one inch of saying yes to God and promising to proclaim his son, what he gave me in return for that one inch is two decades worth of hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ. I devoured Christianity when I said yes to God. Not when I was baptized, not when I received salvation, when I gave God my heart and asked Him to come into my life. The biggest step I ever took was just saying yes to an opportunity that presented itself. He gave me, like, when I'm not here on a Sunday, let's say I'm on a, like, my sabbatical and stuff like that, guys, I don't stop studying. You can ask my wife. I mean, like, all week long, whether I'm preaching or not, I cannot help but just give myself to the goodness of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you hunger for me, I'm the bread of life. You will never be hungry again. I drank from the water of life. No longer am I thirsty for anything that this world has to offer. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've told myself I wasn't going to preface any of my statements. Here's my first time I'm going to go against that. When I tell you what I'm fixing to tell you, I want you to know that I am not saying that going to church every Sunday, that helping with the, you know, the sound system that I did, singing in church, being a worship leader, even being an interim pastor, all of those are great, and God is glorified through all of those things. But all of those things, here's the thing, cost me nothing. They cost nothing to me, except maybe a little bit of my time. Even though I've been tithing since 2005, still, that's nothing. That's worldly stuff. Giving to God costs something. And let me tell you, okay? I want to distinguish between a good deed and giving something to God, okay? A good deed is great, but giving to God cost something. And let me tell you what saying yes to God cost me. It cost me my reputation. See, I was pretty popular in school. Been a good guy. Straight A's, you know. Never got into too much trouble, but I did get in trouble. I did get in some pretty big trouble now that I think about it, but that's a story for another time. But listen, my reputation in Fort Stockton, Texas, I'd worked in the prison there, and worked in the oil field there. Man, my reputation in Fort Stockton, Texas was somebody that would ride the rank ones, flank the big ones, and twirl the pretty ones. Now, I wasn't a bad guy. Don't take that any further than I said it. I just like to have a good time. I like to have fun. I like to dance. Not with one person. I like to, you know, when I was single, I'd dance with everybody in the bar, and the pretty ones like me to twirl them because they like to dance, and some of y'all idiots, guys, cowboys, don't dance anymore. So it's always just easy fishing for me, right? And it was just fun. But all of a sudden, the guy at the bar that would dance with anybody from 15 to 500 and have a good time at it, man, all of a sudden, do you hear Kevin Weatherby's a preacher now? It cost me my reputation. Because now that I had said yes to God, I was on the hook for every single Sunday the rest of my life. There was no excuses of I don't feel like it today. Not only did I have to go to church, I had to prepare a 30-minute message for the rest of my life. And you know what it means when you become a pastor, a preacher? It means that you open yourself up to judgment from every single person on the planet. Y'all judge me all the time. Y'all sitting here, y'all judge me all the time. You judge me sometimes by coming up and saying, I really loved your sermon. You're judging my sermon, and I say thank you. And there have been more than a few here and further out in email that y'all will just walk up to me after a service and go, that wasn't your best one, was it, Kevin? You think I'm joking? Right to my face. I just go, well, God liked it. Well, I guess that remains to be seen. You think I'm joking? I'm not. What other job in the world would you accept that said, there is no guarantee that you will be paid because you will be paid based off solely off the generosity of others and how they listen to God's heart. Not only that, if you ever mess up, if you ever mess up bad enough, you will lose your job for the rest of your life. Show me another job like that. See, when I said yes to God, it cost me something. It cost me everything I had known, my worldly reputation that I had worked really hard. I had a good reputation, okay? I'm not saying, it's not like I had a bad reputation. I had a good reputation, but that good worldly reputation didn't jive with the reputation that God wants us to have. So I had to change, and I lost friends. I lost family. I felt very, very, very alone. Because see, when you say yes to God, it costs you something. And if it doesn't cost you a piece of your soul, you haven't given God anything. You've just done something good. You give God an inch, He'll take a mile. You just say yes to God, and He will fill you full of a hunger and a thirst for Him. Count the cost. That was in May of 2008. Fast forward to, honestly, I can't remember if it was February or March. Dad will remember because he nearly died. Dad will correct me in the comments. I'm sure me and my brothers and sisters will say Dad is right. He's getting old. It's easier just to tell him he's right than try to correct him. Love you, Dad. It was either in February or March of 2008. I had already made plans to move to Kiowa, Colorado. Dad didn't show up for church one Sunday morning. And by 10 o'clock that night, I was standing outside an ICU room at Odessa Medical Center in Odessa, Texas, after they'd life-flighted my dad. And I was standing there, and a doctor walked up, and he said, "Are you with Mr. Weatherby?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm his oldest son." And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, your dad has had a small bowel infarction. And the CAT scan shows that your dad's entire small intestine is dead. And we're going to go in there and do exploratory surgery just to make sure." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds good." I was like, "So what, if it's all dead, are we talking like colostomy bag, you know, are we talking, you know, transplant? I mean, what are we talking about?" And he's, and I'll never forget, the dude had a Russian accent. He was Russian. You ready for it? I said all that, and he said, "There is an 80 to 90% chance that your father is going to die." I didn't know what to think. Things in life don't prepare you for that moment. And I looked at that man like he had lost his ever-loving mind. And I said, "There's an 80 to 90% chance that my dad won't make it off the operating table." He goes, "Oh no, he'll make it off the operating table, but you can't live without your small intestine." He said, "We're going to go in. And if we find 4 inches, your dad will live. If we don't find 4 inches, your dad will pass away in about 3 days because he won't be able to absorb any nutrients into his body and he will pass away." And I looked at him still like he'd lost his ever-loving mind. And I said, "80 to 90% chance?" He goes, "Yeah." And I grinned. He thought I'd lost my ever-loving mind. I grinned and I said, "80 to 90% chance of death is just when my gut gets warmed up." And I was like, "What?" I was scared to death. I nearly peed myself. And it's kind of funny today, but it wasn't funny then. But God spoke through me. He said, "An 80 to 90% chance is just when my God gets warmed up." And this Russian or Ukrainian or, you know, something doctor looks at me and goes, "Are you a believer?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "God is the only thing that can save your dad." What do you say to that? So he said, "I need to go in and talk to your dad." I walked in right behind the doctor. I listened to the doctor tell my dad the exact same thing. My stepmom had to leave the room because she had just lost her mother to cancer and her stepdad that she was very close to. And now that kind of news on her husband, and she had to walk out of the room. Dad had a 1,000-yard stare. And I asked him, I said, "What are you thinking about, Weatherbird?" That's kind of a family nickname for me and Dad and people have. I said, "What are you thinking about, Weatherbird?" He just kind of shook his head. He goes, "I got to get that horse pen fixed." I promise you, those were the words that came out of his mouth. And I laughed. And I said, "Dad, the dude just said you're probably going to die and you're worried about the horse pens." He looked up at me and said, "You asked me what I was thinking about." I walked over there to my dad, guys. Just a dad and his son. My little brother was in Vegas at the time. Just a dad and his son. And I threw my black hat on the hospital room floor there. And I got down on my knees and I held my daddy's hand with my left hand, and on my right hand, I put my hands on his small intestine and I prayed this prayer. God, I'm going to ask that you heal my daddy. Not because of anything that he's ever done, not because of anything I've ever done, but because of what your son did. And God, I remember a story where a guy asked for healing and he said, I know you can heal my son if you're willing. And Jesus says, I am willing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. About 2.5 hours later, I'm sitting in the OR waiting room and I prayed another prayer. And I said, God, I don't have anything more important on this earth than that man in that operating room right now. And I took a deep breath and I said, God, I give him to you now, whether he comes out alive or he goes and joins you, I give him to you and I will praise your name, whether he lives or he goes to heaven with you, God, I will praise your name. Amen. That was the hardest prayer I've ever prayed in my life. That was the hardest prayer I'd ever gave in my life. I don't know how long after that prayer. It wasn't that long, less than an hour. It could have been 10 minutes. I don't know. I don't really remember. It was a big OR waiting room, surgery waiting room. And that Russian doctor hit that door about 3 o'clock in the morning. The lights were kind of down because, you know, and there was only like 3 families and nobody was sleeping. That doctor hit that OR room door. He walked in and he ripped his mask off and he pointed at me from about here to the sound table. And he said, you serve a mighty God. True story. His exact words. You serve a mighty God. And I was trembling. And I got up and I walked straight to that man. And he said, you're never going to believe it. I said, try me. He said, he was dumbfounded. He said, your dad's entire small intestine was dead. And when we got in there, we found 4 inches. Do you know how long your small intestine is? It's 22 feet long. 21 feet and a few more inches were completely dead. Except for 4 inches. When I knew Dad was going to be okay, I drove home about 3:30 right now. And I drive home, and on the way home, I just repeated 3 words over and over and over. I didn't have any other words than, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like, it's not that, like, it's so strange to say, I couldn't form another sentence except that. And when I got home, I walked into my house. And when I walked into my living room, I hit my knees. And when I hit my knees, I sobbed. Gut-wrenching, I sobbed. Because when I hit my knees, in my mind's eye, as clear as I can, and I'm not saying in my mind's imagination. I mean, this was as clear as if my eyes were open. When I hit my knees and the tears started to fall, I opened up my eyes and my tears were falling on the pierced feet of Christ. And I sobbed because I had a question that I had to know the answer to. Kevin would not be able to exist without knowing the answer to one question. As my tears fell on my Savior's feet, I cried out to him and I said, why did you heal my dad? I felt a hand on my shoulder. And the answer that I received broke me. Utterly and completely broke me. Because as I cried, just cried, tears, I mean, flowing just like a water fountain onto the feet of Christ. And I said, why did you heal my daddy? He put his hand on my shoulder. And in the most kind and gentle voice you've ever heard in your life, Jesus Christ told me, don't you know? Because I love you. That will break you. That will shatter your heart into a million pieces. It's the most beautiful agony I've ever experienced in my life. And if you thought I was crying before the answer, I was prostrate before Christ. You see, the inch I gave God was an inch of faith. God, I don't have anything better on this earth than that man in there. But right now I give him to you. Whether he lives or dies, I will proclaim your name and call you good. See, faith, that kind of faith costs something. That kind of faith costs something. I gave God an inch of faith, and he took me a mile. And the mile that he took me, the mile that he gave me, was he let me personally witness the unimaginable power of Jesus Christ's love. And one God, my gosh, guys, one day I hope you experience it. Maybe not, I'm not saying in the same way. I don't want nothing to happen to you, Daddy. But I hope you experience that one day. I gave God an inch of faith, and he showed me the power of his love. And what was the cost? It was my dad. My dad was the cost. Because you see, when you put faith in God with a situation, faith isn't a feeling. It means that you trust God with the outcome, no matter what it is. You leave the outcome up to God. That is what faith is. Let me make sure I got this right. On March 12th or 13th of 2011, the Weatherby family had packed up all their possessions, arranged 3 gooseneck full of clothes and kids as we got ready to move to Kiowa, Colorado. And you know, once everything's loaded, there's just a bunch of trash and cleaning and throwing away. You know, I don't want to take this, you know. It's so sentimental, it's been in my back drawer for 62 years. You know, one of those things, right? Everything was packed. I'd given all the dogs away except one, Ziggy. He was a little mini Aussie. And I was going to our dump on the ranch. And I pulled through a gate and Ziggy got out with me. And he went everywhere with me. And I'd got out to open a gate. I pulled through the gate, got out to shut it, and Ziggy had got out with me. Well, the horses were coming, and I had a bunch of trash bags in the back of my truck. And, you know, my horses would always come up to the truck thinking he's going to feed them, and they'd pull sacks out of the back of the truck and everything. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, here comes the horses. Like, Ziggy, get in. So he went and jumped in. And I went and I got in the truck, and just as soon as I slammed the door, I looked in the rearview mirror, and a horse was reaching over the bed. And I was like, not today. That's what it sounded like when my dog got ran over. When I ran over my best friend. If you got my book, The Great Cow Mission, me and Ziggy are on the back of it. Has your heart ever stopped for just a minute? Has your heart ever just stopped? Because mine did. Because I knew. I didn't have to get out to look. I knew exactly what had happened. Because, see, Ziggy would always get in, but he liked to get in the back seat so he could run back and forth. And he'd get in, and he'd jump in the back seat. And when I got there, I just thought Ziggy was in the back seat. But he had gone under the truck to try to keep the horses from getting in the back. Now, when I say my heart stopped for a minute and I knew exactly what was going on, I was out of that truck in 0.1 seconds. And I got to my dog before he died. And I loved on him. And I told him, I said, boy, you just go. I'm so sorry, Ziggy. I'm so sorry. And I told him, I said, you just stay here on the ranch, kid. And I'll always come back here and see you. He's still buried on that ranch. But you see, what I didn't tell you is that I'd already lost a daughter. In between Dad and Ziggy, we were going to adopt a daughter. She had lived with us for a year. She called me Daddy. It was all set in stone to adopt her and bring her up here. And right at the last second, they gave that child back to her parents. And they came and took my daughter. When I laid Ziggy in the back of the truck, when I got back in the truck, not a tear shed, I nearly broke my hand on the steering wheel. I pounded on the steering wheel for a good 60 seconds. Punching it and just screaming. And you know what I said? Devil, you can take everything from me, but you will never, ever, ever stop me from doing what God has called me to do, no matter how much you try to hurt me. I gave God an inch. And the inch that I gave God, pounding on a diesel pickup steering wheel in 2011, around March 11th or March 12th of 2011, the inch that I gave God was my word. See, I told God, I rebuked the devil, and I told God, I said, nothing that they can throw at me will stop me from following you. And do you know what it means to give your word to God and keep it for 20 years, despite the judgment, despite the hurt, the betrayal, the cost. I gave God my word, but you want to know what it cost me? I pulled the most Kevin thing ever, and I picked a fight with the devil. And when you pick a fight with the devil, he fights back. You are I know I'm guaranteed victory, but I am not guaranteed it to be without pain. I'm guaranteed victory, but that doesn't mean that I won't fall down 1,000 times and take 1,000 hits. It just means that I will win because Jesus said so. Well, I told you the inch and I told you the cost, but what was the mile? I gave God an inch of my word and picked a fight with the devil as the cost. You want to know what the mile was this time? It wasn't just 1 mile. It was 1 mile plus 700. It is 701 miles from Kynosa, Texas to Kiowa, Colorado. And we've preached every single Sunday since Easter 2011. We have grown into one of the largest cowboy ministries in the nation. And if we're one of the largest cowboy ministries in the nation, we are the country of cowboys. We are one of the largest cowboy ministries in the world out of a little old town of Kiowa, Colorado. Because if God can take a nobody, just a regular guy, nothing special, and take him with just 3 inches, he has taken me 20 years and tens of thousands of miles to different countries, different states, different churches, different people, all because I gave God 3 inches of my life. But make no mistake about it, those 3 inches were the most valuable things that I had to give in that moment. Now, I've given God a lot of other things that have cost me dearly, but those are the three that got me where I am today. I was willing to say yes to God and have it cost something. I was willing to give God my faith. And he showed me the power of his love. And I was willing to give God my word. And either brave enough or stupid enough to bow up to the devil and pick a fight. In Isaiah chapter 6, I think this is right. No notes. In Isaiah chapter 6. No, I don't know. It's in the first part of Isaiah. God is talking and God says, whom shall we send out as a messenger among our people? Is there anyone we can send? And Isaiah replied, here I am, send me. See, this hasn't been my story. It's been God's story, his story of the redemption of just one man that was a nobody has turned into somebody that has help change people's forever lives and eternal salvation because one nobody said yes to God, followed through with it, never gave up, and picked a fight with the devil and entered into a battle that is the only one that truly matters. My story is his story, and his story can be your story. If you give him an inch, you have no idea where he'll take you. But it has to mean something. It has to mean something. And I know that God has a plan for each of you. Because my story is his story, and his story is your story. But I want you to understand one thing before we leave. My story is not your story. You can't copy what I did and hope to get the same results because you're not me. Because you have your own God, your own Father that knows all, has known you since before time began, and he has a plan for your life, and that plan doesn't have anything to do with what we do on earth. The plan that he has for you is his son. That's what we need. It's all we've ever needed. Listen, y'all know me. I mean, there are a really good chance a lot of you have seen me lose my cool or, you know, get frustrated or, you know, whatever. But see, here's the thing. I've never sought perfection. Perfection is not what I attain to. I don't seek perfection. I seek Jesus. He's the perfection I seek, not some moral standard that there's no way I can possibly uphold. Yeah, I grow, but I don't care when I fall down. I learn from it and I move on because I don't seek perfection. I seek Him. And honestly, guys, that's what I want for y'all. Because we can get up here and I can preach out of the Bible and I can tell you what it says and I can explain it to you. And I can give you 100 verses that just make your heart sing. But there's more to it than that. It's a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship. And I wanted just to step back from behind the pulpit and just tell y'all that I'm just Kevin Weatherby. Just a guy that said yes to God, found a hunger and a thirst for Him, and didn't mind the cost, even though it was extremely high. I lost something at every one of those inches and gained so much more. There's a fourth inch. There's a fourth inch. But that one's for a different time and place. I always got to leave a little bit of meat on the bone for next time. Okay. This may take me a couple of times, okay? I need to talk to my online people for just a second. I have no idea how this is going to go. My name is Kevin Weatherby. I'm the founder of Save the Cowboy. I'm an avid follower of Jesus Christ. And if you have enjoyed this message today, I would like you to help me out. See, I stood in that hospital room and I told God that I would proclaim His name no matter what happened, and that I would tell His story to as many people would listen. If this story has touched you, I would like to come give it to you personally. I will come to where your organization is, your church. If you want conference, we can do whatever you want to do. There will be some limitations, stipulations, and constipations associated with that. Okay? First come might not be first served, but first come will be first considered. If you would like me to come see y'all, I would like the opportunity. Now to my people here, I ask something of you too. Will you send me out there? Will you let go of me for like one Sunday a month at the most? Will y'all let go and send me out there to proclaim Jesus Christ? Will you come with me? Will you come with me? Now, I can't pay for everybody, okay? I can't pay for everybody. But I want to make this a family event. I want to go out there into the dark world, and I want to tell powerful stories that result in changed lives. I was going to say Chives Lane or something like that. I'm getting tired. Too much today on 4 hours of sleep. I want y'all to go with me. And I want to take this message of Jesus Christ, not Save the Cowboy, not Kevin Weatherby, Jesus Christ out into the world. And I hope you online will have us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for who you are. And I thank you for already giving me the fourth inch so that whenever I go out and proclaim your story, Jesus, that others will hear the fourth inch, the craziest of them all. And God, I know that there's a fourth inch, and I know that there's going to be a fifth inch, because I know that you never stop giving up on us, and we can never stop growing in you. God, your word is the only thing we need. Your sacrifice was more than enough, and who you are is the most important thing in the world to me. Father, help me to become the man that you have asked me to be. And God, I pray that you lift up hearts that are hurting, lives that are falling apart, relationships that are damaged. God, I call upon you to break the strains of the strongholds that are keeping people from giving, saying yes to you and giving you an inch of their life. Father, that can change today. 3 inches can take you further than any amount you can go on your own. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.